Hey, hey, thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellefson Show. Appreciate you tuning in, as always. If you'd like to join the conversation this morning, 715-845-2155. As I've said many times, I scan the headlines of the Milwaukee Journal, so you don't have to. You're welcome. However, I'm, you know, of course, I'm on their email list, and they just sent me a marketing email that says they can't even give away online. Well, it's just about giving it away. Milwaukee Journal Online, $1 for 6 months. Can you believe it? That's what they're charging for the Milwaukee Journal. It's pretty sad. I wonder what those, well, we don't care about it. But however, I was going to say, I wonder what the reporters, what kind of salaries they make as a result of the really low price for online Milwaukee Journal. But I know I probably don't have it in front of me, or I know I don't have it in front of me, but I remember there's talk by Democrats, I believe here in Wisconsin, in the legislature, to prop up these failing mainstream tabloids, is what I call them, all over the state, because they can't make it on their own, because nobody wants to read the crap that they're reporting on, you know? I don't know. I mean, take a hint, Milwaukee Journal and all the other ones. Wausau Tabloid, you know who you are. Okay, so, you know, I was just talking with Andrew Ritto, who is the CEO of Liberation Technology Services, and providing an alternative to tech services that don't have our best interests at heart. And frankly, they are more than willing to censor and cancel us. And I see, however, when we were talking about Google, and I'm sure you perhaps have heard this reported, that Google terminated 28 employees after protests. And this was an internal memo that went around from the CEO of Google. I'm going to share it with you in just a minute, but there were 9 Google workers that were arrested on trespassing charges after staging a sit-in at the company's offices in New York and California, including a protest in the CEO's office, the Google Cloud CEO's office. And in this memo sent by Chris Racco, Google's vice president of global security, he told, okay, and I'm just going to share it with you because I kind of like the way that it's strongly worded, interestingly. And, you know, I guess the millennials or whomever is behaving in this manner, and they're angry because they're protesting Google's contract to provide the Israeli government and military with cloud computing and artificial intelligence services. So employees get to dictate who their companies do business with. Well, you know, I guess if Google has to implode, so be it. So here's the internal memo. Googlers, I guess that's what they call them. You may have seen reports of protests at some of our offices yesterday. Unfortunately, a number of employees brought the event into our buildings in New York and Sunnyvale, that's in California. They took over office spaces, defaced our property, and physically impeded the work of other Googlers. Their behavior was unacceptable, extremely disruptive, and made coworkers feel threatened. Imagine if you were a Jewish person that worked for Google, how you would take what these people are doing. Because the Democrats, the left, has actually made it, evidently, they've made it socially acceptable to be anti-Semitic. And, I mean, that's all that we can conclude from all of this anti-Israel rhetoric and protesting. Okay, back to this. So their behavior was unacceptable. Those who refused to leave were arrested by law enforcement and removed from our offices. Following investigation, we terminated the employment of 28 employees found to be involved. We will continue to investigate and take action as needed. Behavior like this has no place in our workplace, and we will not tolerate it. It clearly violates multiple policies that all employees must adhere to, including our code of conduct and policy on harassment, discrimination, retaliation, standards of conduct, and workplace concerns. We are a place of business, and every Googler is expected to read our policies and apply them to how they conduct themselves and communicate in our workplace. The overwhelming majority of our employees do the right thing. Well, that's debatable. If you're one of the few who are tempted to think we're going to overlook conduct that violates our policies, think again. The company takes this extremely seriously, and we will continue to apply our longstanding policies to take action against disruptive behavior up to and including termination. You should expect to hear more from leaders about standards of behavior and discourse in the workplace. Okay, while I'm on the topic of standards of behavior and discourse in the workplace, I'm just going to share a little something, something that I have been made aware of. I'm not going to provide details, nor am I going to provide the names of the people that have shared this information with me. Suffice it to say that we were spot on in our concerns about former Mayor Katie Rosenberg and the level of unprofessionalism in which she conducted herself. And frankly, all you had to do was get a look at her. And I mean, she didn't dress, you know, you've heard the term dress for success. There wasn't much success going on in that. And, you know, maybe you'll say, oh, that's petty to pick on someone's clothing. You know what? Isn't the phrase dress for success, and clothing makes the man, clothing makes the woman. And if you are projecting an image of unseriousness with your clothing, well, that's how you're going to be taken, or that's how voters and frankly citizens are going to look at you, are going to view you with unseriousness. And maybe that's not even a word, but it was very interesting to hear about in greater detail. And, you know, as I pointed out too, and I don't know if you were able to hear when I spoke of the mayor's, I called her the mayor's flunky. I don't know what has become of her at this point, but she very brazenly was posting about all of the unserious behavior going on at Wausau City Hall, courtesy on the dime of the Wausau taxpayers like you and I. And it infuriates me because, hey, listen, we have another, if you divide your tax bill into three like we do, we have another tax, a portion of our property taxes due at the end of April. And during the course of the last 4 years, under the unprofessional, and that's the nicest thing I can say about former Mayor Katie Rosenberg, under the unprofessional Mayor Rosenberg, it just infuriated me. It incensed me that we were writing a check and the level of behavior at City Hall is what we were funding ultimately. And you know, I shared that, and of course, surprisingly, shockingly, the mayor's former flunky, the former mayor's former flunky, had posted all of this for public consumption. So all of what they were doing at taxpayer expense was chronicled on this flunky's Facebook page. She's since obviously, I don't know if she's deleted the posts or whatever, but they're no longer public. But examples. Throwing paper airplanes in City Hall, and playing ping pong, roasting s'mores, and then all the trips that the flunky and the mayor took. Not here within the city of Wausau to determine, how can we help the business owners? How can we help potential aspiring business owners to want to locate their business here in Wausau? Or how we can actually help the citizens. No, they were jet setting off to Madison and to Washington, D.C., and then even our mayor. I don't have any evidence to suggest that the flunky went to overseas with the mayor on her socialist junkets, but that's something that it always infuriated me every time we had to write a check for our property taxes. And thank God there are adults, or there is an adult in the mayor's office now as of the 16th. So I'm going to take your call, 715-845-2155. Good morning, you're on with Meg.
Good morning, Meg. John from Brookville with several brief comments, please. Hi. First of all, your guest was outstanding talking about artificial intelligence and everything else. And I appreciate your comments. I want to follow up that in just a minute. But first, I want to talk about the anti-Semitic comments that you addressed and what's going on in the country. Yesterday, I was listening to the president of Columbia University being questioned by, I think it was senators or congressmen, don't remember exactly. And it's just incredible the answers to the questions she had, how she avoided anything that was attacking Jewish people, Christians, etc. Then there were two or three of her professors on that were drinking the same Kool-Aid. Meg, it's just incredible the people that are running these universities today, how they are brainwashing our students and are part of this huge left progressive movement. It's really, really sad and depressing. That's that. Now, artificial intelligence. Like anything else that's new, you know, there's good and there's bad about it, but I want to give you a quick example of something that happened to me on Friday. So I recently moved, inherited my parents' home in Brookfield, and during the transition, their landline was discontinued, which was the right thing to do, but I need a landline because of my disability and so on and so forth. So anyway, I spent 2 hours trying to get through artificial intelligence to talk to somebody live at one of the major telephone companies.
Wow.
Two hours. Then I get somebody, and it sounded like they were in another country, and they spent time with me and could not help me. It was incredible. And I spent, and I logged this, I spent a total of 4 hours trying to get a landline hooked up at my parents' home, which had a landline here for 46 years up until 2 weeks ago. And then, you know, part of the problem is there's no demand for landlines anymore. But my premise is, you know, artificial intelligence, and people have to be aware of this, it's going to be more and more part of our daily interactions. And the other thing to be very, very aware of, and I think you've addressed this in the past shows, is the corruption that's going on, where if they capture your voice, they will take your voice and turn it into something completely bad and maybe call you or call somebody else, and they think they're talking to you, and they're actually talking to a computer-generated version of your voice. So I'm never one to put paranoia on people, and I think you've addressed this as well as anybody. The main thing you have to be is aware, be diligent, be smart, and pay attention, and your life should not be interrupted. But those are my comments, Meg, and as always, keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks for calling in, John. Very nice to hear from you. I hope that you've got your landline now.
It works, Meg. Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, good. And are we talking on it right now?
No, we're not. And the reason we're not, Meg, is actually, you got another quick minute?
Sure, why not?
So the reason I had the landline hooked up is I also participate in a national radio show called Coast to Coast AM. It's on your station from midnight to 4 a.m. I'm a regular caller. Last year, I went to Los Angeles and got to meet George Norrie and his producer, Tommy Danheiser, wonderful people. Whenever there's a subject they have I feel I can contribute to, I call in. Well, anyway, part of the problem is on a show like that, you can be on hold for up to an hour. And I'm okay with that because while you're on hold, you're listening to the show. So I'm okay with that. But with a cell phone, you know, the call can be dropped and so on and so forth. And it only happened to me a couple times, but when you're talking live on the air and you're phone call drops it. It's embarrassing.
Well, it's disappointing too because there's no way to reconnect.
It's frustrating for George. It's frustrating for the listeners. I mean, this is a radio show that's on 650 stations throughout the country. Anyway, so shortening the story, last week when I was on, Tommy Danheiser, the producer, called me and says, "John, George really wants you to be the guest on our show. He wants to interview you because of the uniqueness of your blindness, your story, so on and so forth." And so I'm going to be on. It was originally going to be May 2nd, but now it's moved to May 31st, Friday, May 31st, which is actually a better date. There's a larger audience. And so I'm going to be on the first 2 hours from midnight to 2 a.m. George will interview me the first hour, then we'll take callers. But getting back to the landline, I wanted to make sure I'm on a landline during that interview.
Gotcha. Hey, I'm going to let you go because I want to get some other callers in. But nice to hear from you, John. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great day.
You as well.
Thank you. 715-845-21. 55. Good morning. You're on with Meg. Oh, I lost you. Hang on. Good morning. You're on with Meg. Oh, darn it. Well, hey, keep trying to call back. I am happy to take your call. 715-845-2155. I don't know if you saw, well, if you read the New York Post, you would have seen this, but so, and I know that you've seen various school children and, well, taxpayer-funded entities whose businesses are, whose, well, I guess, whose operations are disrupted because of illegals. And in New York City, here, this is from Miranda Devine. It's hard enough for kids in New York City to find an outdoor space to play sports. That's why the city issues permits so sports teams can play on city fields. But the system doesn't work if people, like illegals, don't abide by the rules. So it happened on the weekend that a woman took her 17-year-old son to play soccer at Thomas Jefferson Park in East Harlem, but the game never happened. A group of illegals refused to leave the field. And this is according to this mom, a group of young African men, early 20s, speaking another language, but they spoke English too, were playing soccer and refused to leave even when the police came and explained the teams had a permit. Finally, the referee that was assigned to this high school team's game decided it was too late to start the game and left. So two teams of high school boys in uniform with their coaches present and a valid permit could not play a soccer match in New York City because their city has opened their doors wide to illegals and made it a sanctuary city. So lawlessness prevails in these Democrat-run sanctuary cities. And this is what citizens are going to see more of if they do not push back and, hey, stop voting for the Democrats that are in favor of sanctuary cities. And I would just say, stop voting for Democrats, period. I don't care if they are, well, I do care if they are in favor of sanctuary cities. But this is just another example of what you get when you vote for Democrats. This is just another example of the ramifications of Joe Biden's insane open border policies, if you want to call them policies. 715-845-2155. I have time for one call. Good morning, you're on with Meg.
Hi. Hello?
Good morning, you're on.
Yeah. My name's Joe. I'm from Humber. I called once before. I wanted to, it was last week where you had wanted people to call in how they're going to support, you know, the Republican Party. And I'm kind of low tech. So I got a buddy who does graphics. So he made some door magnets for my truck. And it just simply says, common sense, vote Republican.
I love it.
With the American flag. I tried to send it to you. I don't know if the number you got, you can send pictures to. So if not, I just send it, and I probably send it to who knows. But
well, if you can email it, I would get it. But
I'm real low tech.
All right. Well, I can, in my mind's eye, I can envision it. So well done, and
right.
We all have to do our part. And you never know. I mean, even if you can just persuade one voter. I mean, that's, everybody has to do their part.
Well, I just figured, I'm driving around my pickup. It's a rolling billboard, so.
Yeah, why not? That's great.
And so there's an idea if somebody that, you know, wants to do something like that too, you know. So.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in, Joe. Where did you say you're from?
Humbert, Wisconsin.
Oh, is that like Hamburg, but I've just been mispronouncing it?
Hum, H-U-M.
Oh, Berg. So there's a Humburg and a Hamburg.
Humburg, Berg, B-I-R-D.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Hope you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you. Got to go to the 10 o'clock news, followed by my next guest this morning, attorney from Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Corey Brewer, will be joining me. We're going to talk about a recent event that they hosted in helping future school, while helping current school board candidates as well as future school board candidates represent their constituents. I will be right back after this on the Meg Ellefson Show on WSAU.